Amen. Amen. If you're at home or wherever it is that you are watching from, you can have your seat. Get your Bible, get your notebook, get your pen. We're going to be going into the Word of the Lord even some more. Chantel has already laid a beautiful foundation, talking about the authority of the believer. But there's two particular words I want to share with you today, which are the words authority and power. Often these two words are used interchangeably as though it means exactly the same. Even in some of our translations of the Bible, we read the word power, but in the Greek, it's actually the word authority. The two words in the Greek are dunamis, power, and exousia, which is authority. Dunamis speaks of the explosive power of God that is released from you, and then it changes your physical reality. It is the explosive power of God, the dunamis power of God. So think about dynamite. That's where that word comes from. It's the explosive power of God that has the ability to change your physical reality. Come on, if that is not something to get excited about, I don't know what is. Think about that. You are a carrier of God's explosive dunamis power. You are a carrier of that power. And you have the power to change your physical reality. The second word is exousia, speaking of authority. This is the power of rule of government that demands submission. In other words, power produces miracles and healings. It is power that allowed for Jesus to multiply the bread and the fish. But authority is what you carry. It is what you carry, causing demons, devils to squirm by just your mere presence. So power is the explosive power of God that affects your physical reality. It is what is at work with signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, multiplication. That's the power of God. But authority is what you carry. In other words, your mere presence amidst devils and demons is enough to make them squirm because of what you carry. Power affects the visible realm, but authority affects both the visible and the invisible realm. Jesus' ministry was marked by both authority and power. Yes, Jesus operated in both authority and power. In Luke 4, verse 32, it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." Come on, right there in the comment section, you need to write this down, that his word is with authority. His word equals authority. This is why when we speak, we do not speak with our own minds and with our own words and with our own language. We speak the word of God. For the word of God carries authority. Then in Luke 4, verse 36, it says, "Then they were all amazed, and they spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word this is! For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" But then Jesus understood the importance of releasing both his authority and his power to us, the sons and daughters of God, for we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many people can have power, but only one will be in a position of authority. In the Garden of Eden, Adam was the sole carrier of the authority that had been given to him. This is why the Bible says that God is the source of all authority, because it is. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion, which speaks of authority, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Man then was given authority over the lithosphere, which is the earth, the hydrosphere, the atmosphere, as well as the biosphere. Man was given authority over everything that is above in the air, everything that creeps on the ground, and even that which is below the ground. The very first thing that God gave to Adam was a kingdom. Mankind was given the keys to this kingdom. Mankind was given dominion. Mankind was given authority. The Garden of Eden was the place from where mankind would rule and they would extend their influence and their territory. But unfortunately, Adam sinned. And as a result, he had to relinquish the keys to the kingdom. He lost the authority because of sin. Those are the devastating effects of sin. Whereas Adam was the sole carrier of that authority that had been given to him directly by God, all of a sudden, because of sin, Satan was the one who now took the authority from man. But keep in mind that that was against the initial plan, the initial purpose of God. And so what the first Adam lost, the last Adam, Jesus, would come and ultimately take back from the devil. Two things Jesus promised and then delivered. I want you to know that Jesus, when he promises, he makes good on every promise. Jesus made promises and then he delivered. Number one is Jesus promised and then he delivered his authority. In Matthew 16 verse 19, Jesus says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." Chantel referred to this earlier, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Jesus says, "All authority." Come on, some of you need to write that down. All authority. Not some, not just a little bit. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. In other words, that which the first Adam lost, Jesus as the last Adam had now secured for us. All authority in heaven and on earth was given to him and thereby to us. For the next words out of Jesus's mouth is, "Therefore go." In other words, Jesus is saying, it is because I have received once again for you all authority in heaven and on earth, you are able to go and advance my kingdom, because the kingdom of God is marked by power and authority. In Luke 10:19, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority." Not "I will," not one day, but he has to us even now. He has imparted to us all his authority to trample over the kingdom of darkness. It says, "You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses." And you see again, authority is greater than power. Many people can have power, but only one has authority. Who has the authority ultimately has absolute power. Then it says, "Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in his authority." This is why we can, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only possess the gates of the enemy, but to storm the very gates of hell. Because as long as we walk in his authority, absolutely nothing will be able to harm us. Come on, if you receive that word and if you believe this with me, let your amen be the loudest in Jesus' name. Nothing will be able to harm you. I prophesy over your life. Nothing, absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as long as you walk in His authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number two, Jesus promised and then He delivered to us His power. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then in Matthew 10 verse 1, He says, He gave them power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. This promise is to every son and daughter of God, not just to the fivefold. In other words, there is nothing preventing you from speaking life. There is nothing preventing you as just an ordinary member of a church to speak healing, to speak life, to lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover, to speak to a demon, to curse a spirit, to tell it to leave, and it has to obey. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than the one who is in this world. For it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And one more time, if you believe that revelation, let your amen be the loudest in Jesus' name. The physical man has limits. There are limitations associated with the physical man, the natural man. However, your spirit man is limitless. But then people say, well, I'm just an ordinary man. Well, this is why you have to be born again. Because when you are born again, you are born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit, not of man. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says in the Amplified that you are a peculiar people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Kings who are also priests. That's who you are. The Passion Translation says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. You see, you are not ordinary. You are, in fact, both a king and a priest in the order of Melchizedek. That is who you are. You are special. You are not average. You are not ordinary. You are supernatural in Jesus' name. When Peter walked on water, he literally walked in exousia. He walked in authority, for he was able to exercise authority over the natural laws of gravity and buoyancy. You see, a physical man was not going to be able to walk on water, but it was because he had made the leap. By stepping out of that boat, he left the natural and stepped into the supernatural. And he then walked in the authority of God's word. He was also the very first disciple to experience the supernatural. He was also the very first disciple right after the day of Pentecost, who through his own hands healed a person in the street corner. In Matthew 14, I want to read this to you in closing, from verse 25. It says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him and he said this, listen carefully. He said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come, to walk on the water. And listen to Jesus' response in verse 29. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. Now, why did Peter ask Jesus that if it's really you, tell me then to come? Why did he ask him that? I believe it was because of a previous encounter he had with Jesus. In fact, it was his very first encounter with Jesus. We read about this in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, when he, Jesus, had stopped speaking. Remember, he was speaking from the boat that belonged to Simon Peter. Then he said then to Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. Peter was there the whole time, listening to Jesus preach from his boat. We all know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it was his word that Peter said, I will take you at. On the ground of your word, I will lower the net again. And you see, it is for exactly this reason that he says to Jesus, if this is really you, tell me to come. Because he was waiting for the commandment. He was waiting for the word. Because he understood that the only response he could have was based upon the word. That the word of God has the ultimate authority. That when the word of God has gone forth, it will always produce and will never return void. And it was as a result of the word that had gone forth that Peter was able to transition that day from the natural and enter into the supernatural. So some of you need to say, Lord, just give me the command. Speak to me. I will take you at your word. Your word is the only evidence I need. I will leave the shallows of my faith and I will enter into the deep waters of faith. I am ready to go at your word. I will do it. At your word, I will leave the boat. At your word, I will lower the nets again. At your word, I believe your word. I receive your word. I will walk on your word, which is giving me the authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we pray that from this day, we will walk in your authority. That signs, wonders, and miracles we will see of, hear of, partake of on a daily basis. Indeed, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we speak victory over every single one, your sons and your daughters. Lord, we pray even now for an impartation of identity, of purpose, and destiny. We thank you. We thank you that you have given us authority and power. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.